It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Welcome to our program. My name is Larry London, and coming up in today's hour, we've got requests and dedications, but for the first half of the show, we'd like to welcome a duo, Sarah and Justin, who are on tour. They are in striking matches. The new album is Nothing But the Silence. They're in our studios, and we'll be talking with them and checking out their music live on today's Border Crossings program. It's Border Crossings. My name's Larry London. Glad to have you with us. We've got two musicians in our studios right now known as Striking Matches. It's actually not Striking Matches, your name, but that's the name of the band. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Sarah Zimmerman.
And I'm Justin Davis.
And we are Striking Matches.
Now, what made you decide on the name Striking Matches? That's an interesting name for a duo.
Yeah, I don't know. We were really just sort of searching for something that was evocative of what we were doing in our live show, which tended to be pretty high energy and, And it was just sort of evocative of that, and just like it could kind of come off the rails at any moment. The more we sort of worked it out, the more it worked for us.
Yeah. And you two met at school?
We did, at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. We met there. We both moved to town. I'm from outside of Philadelphia, and Justin's from outside of Atlanta, and mm-hmm. both moved to town to be guitar players, so went to major in guitar there at Belmont and kind of got thrown together at random.
Yeah, it was just the first week of school. And they had all the guitar majors together in these guitar seminar classes, freshman to senior, in front of all the faculty. And being the first day, they were making the freshmen get up two by two, just pairing you at random on the roll. And you had to get up in front of the whole rest of the class with this stranger, and you just had to improvise something on the spot. It didn't matter what you played, you just had to play something. And so it was kind of a trial by fire hazing thing, and Sarah was actually the only girl in the class at the time, and I remember just...
Oh, you lucked out.
Well, it was a lot of 18-year-old guys who had never seen a girl guitar player before in their uh-huh. life, and I was one of them. I had never... Bonnie Raitt maybe was the only one I knew of, and so nobody wanted to wind up with the girl. and sure enough, they were going along, and people were crashing and burning, and they picked me, and then they picked Sarah, and I was thinking, great. Oh, man, lucky me. And we got up, and I just, well, you play any blues or something? And she whipped out her slide and just kind of proceeded to blow everybody's minds. So
then you said, I lucked out. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't guitar at first for you. It was clarinet and then a few other instruments.
Yeah, I grew up playing clarinet, violin, picked up guitar when I was about 10, and mm-hmm. Fell in love with the instrument, really. I played clarinet and violin all through high school, college, and stuff still, but still, guitar was always my favorite, and knew even from the beginning, I think, that I wanted to be a professional guitar player. Mm-hmm.
And in your house growing up, it was the Dixie Chicks. You were listening to Sam Cooke.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little bit of everything. I think that was the thing our parents really did right, was they just exposed us to a bunch of different styles of music, because my folks would listen to country music or southern rock or whatever, but they would listen to Motown and what mm-hmm. was, you know, kind of their era, top 40 and mm-hmm. stuff. And so it was just a wide variety. And I think the common link between them all is that we just tended to gravitate towards whoever's genre's guitar hero was.
Right.
And so we were in country, it was Jerry Reed and Chet Atkins and Chuck Berry. And it just sort of was all over the place. Like we were saying, we were talking earlier, Lindsey Buckingham was a huge hero mm-hmm. of mine from Fleetwood Mac. And
Jimmy Page, Clapton, those guys. Yeah.
I had mentioned that you look like Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah.
So if they do the making or the history of the Fleetwood Mac story, you'd be Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah, just call my agent when I get one.
Well, we've got Striking Matches in our studios, and they're promoting a brand new album, Nothing But the Silence. And if you guys wouldn't mind playing a song for us, I'd love to hear a new tune from Striking Matches.
Well, this one's called Trouble Is As Trouble Does. Mm.
Lost my mind. Everybody says I lost my mind. When I'm with you, I guess I see why. I'm saying things I never say, doing things that I don't do. You're no good for me, and they say I'm too good for you. I can't help when you're around. Trouble is, it's trouble does, and I'm in trouble now.
Matches here on Border Crossings. You guys are hot. You guys sounding great. Congratulations on all the success. 2012, you had the best EP, iTunes best EP of 2012. And now you've got the debut full studio album out, Nothing But the Silence, which I guess was a thrill, not only because it's the debut album, not only because you helped to write all the songs, but you work with T-Bone Burnett.
Yeah.
That was just something that I think if you'd asked us 2 years ago, well, pick anyone. If you could work with any producer, who would be your dream producer? Doesn't matter if it's completely unlikely. And we just said, well, sure, it'll never happen, but T-Bone Burnett would be really cool. We love what he does, and he's been our hero. We've listened to his records all our lives, and sure enough, a year later, it was just when it came time to go make the record, when we had signed our first record deal and everything, he was the first one to come to us and say, I'd love to make this record with you if you want. And so
about 2 seconds
as we kind of picked ourselves off the floor, we were kind of like, yeah, we'll get back to you, man. Probably we'll think about it.
Yeah, we'll think about it. And here you are with the debut album and on tour.
Yeah.
And the tour is going around the world. I guess in June you head off to the UK.
Yeah. We just got back from over there, and we go back again in late June, early July, and for some festivals and a few headlining shows. And then we go back in November and do about 3 weeks of headlining shows all over the UK. So
you're really, truly international stars. I know when you perform in London, all the shows sell out.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic,
really, really amazing,
you know?
Yeah.
They've completely embraced us over there, which is just, it feels so good because it's a scary thing, kind of traveling that far away from home. And you'd think we'd be used to it by now, but it was just before this time last year, we had never been there before. And now we've been back 5 times just in the span of about a year and a half. And we'll play Shepherd's Bush Empire when we go back in November, which is a really just historic, great venue, and all our heroes have played there, just all the great London rock and roll bands and just everyone.
Is the reception different when you go overseas versus in the U.S., or is it the same?
I don't, it's hard to say. It happened quicker over in the U.K. The reception we get here is still incredible, but it's just we just played our first Boston show, which is kind of crazy to think about because we've been almost everywhere in the States, and our fan base is incredible here. But the UK is just, it's concentrated just as far as square mileage. And so the fact that we've only been going over there about a year and a half or so, and just how quickly it's happened, that's been kind of the difference is we've been spoiled rotten with just how easy we've had it. So
in the industry, they have, in the Europe and the UK, they don't require that you actually pick a name, a format, a sound.
Yeah.
In the US, they want you to do that.
Yeah.
They want to put you in a box.
Sure. Yeah.
How do you guys describe or define the sound of Striking Matches?
It's definitely somewhere in between country rock and blues, I think. And
it's sort of an amalgamation of everything we were inspired by, which is tough to nail down. In the first place, because we weren't inspired by just one genre of music. And I think that's kind of a liberating thing when you go, when the culture doesn't care, it's just, do they like it or not?
And good music.
Then that's as complicated as it needs to get. And it's just different. Yeah. But it is kind of liberating because mm-hmm. you don't feel like you have to necessarily create a certain type of music. You're sort of free artistically to just do what you right. feel compelled to do.
Yeah. And you've been on tour with people like Train mm-hmm. and Vince Gill.
Yeah.
These are very different
yeah.
kinds of music.
Yeah.
And you've done both and built your fan base up from that as well. And now your music is heard on the TV show Nashville,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which has got to be a thrill for you as well.
That's been amazing. We've had 8 songs that we've written on the show, and it's just been absolutely incredible. You know, it's an amazing thing to hear your song on the radio, but then to see it on TV and have it have a plot line and a story, I think, you know, because when you write a song, you know what you were writing it about, yeah. but to have someone else's sort of interpretation of how they see the song and have it have a script and all these
it's things. Like a really expensive music video.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not mere thousands of dollars, millions. We're talking millions.
Do you enjoy writing music for TV shows or things like that, music for movies and things, or is it better or easier to write for your own album and your own stuff?
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
We've really pretty much only written really for ourselves, and that was the amazing thing about the Nashville show and the other placements that they've had. We've just written these songs for us, and they just latched on and have used them. So we've never really written thinking, oh, they want this is the plot and this is what we need to write for. We've just written for ourselves, and it's connected with them, so it's been really cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, Striking Matches on Border Crossings today. I'm going to ask if you do another song for
sure,
us.
Yeah, we'd love to
hear something. What's this called?
This is called Make a Liar Out of Me, and this is kind of Sarah's chance to show you that slide thing.
All
feeling between us, said I did.
Yeah, striking matches here on Border Crossings. And if you're like me and you're saying, wow, they're good, and look at Sarah. Look at her just ripping it up. Well, apparently we're not the only ones, because you got a scholarship to Vanderbilt for your guitar playing.
Yeah, for actually that one was for songwriting. Actually, mm-hmm. It was what they gave that to me, and that's actually how we ended up meeting our manager,
label head.
Who became our label head. Yeah, was because of that scholarship, and pretty cool experience to get to have that. You know,
well, things have always. I mean, nothing's happened particularly fast, with the exception of just how blessed we've been over with the UK, but things have just always seemed to fall into place really serendipitously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the way we even just kind of got thrown together to the way that we kind of just happened to be taking that class, and our future label head was the speaker one night, and he had just seen a video of us on YouTube, and so he pointed and picked Sarah out of the class.
Like, I know you.
Yeah.
Like, this is creepy. But and so from there, he was just like, I love the video that you made, and I think we chatted for a while at the class, and then a week or so later, Justin and I sat down with him, had some coffee, and he became our manager pretty soon after, and did that for a while, and then he had the opportunity to start up IRS Nashville, mm-hmm. Which IRS was a really cool label, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. And
R.E.M. and mm-hmm. I mean, me being from Georgia originally, R.E.M. was kind of like the local band, and
yeah.
I remember their IRS record days,
yeah.
And that was just really cool. And yeah. It's all under Capitol out of L.A., mm-hmm. So we had our you know, sign your first record deal moment where you show up at the label and you're kind of like,
we're in the building.
How
oh
did
my
we
gosh.
Get here?
Right.
Yeah, wow.
I think every kid imagines that in their mm-hmm. head as the Capitol Records tower,
yeah.
And so when that actually ended up being our label, that was pretty. Pretty
yeah,
wild.
Really cool.
And I'm sure when you wrote your first song at 10, you never yeah. imagined that ever happening.
No, I mean, no. I mean, that's sort of just something that is your wildest dreams. And usually yeah. for a lot of people, that you just get distracted, or you kind of come up with new dreams. And so to kind of retain those same ones mm-hmm. from such an age, and to know what you want to do from that early on. I mean, I either wanted to do that, or I wanted to be a paleontologist. And it was really... I just had to make a decision when it came to math. I couldn't.
Oh,
I can't.
Yeah.
And so school was not going to be in my future.
And your parents are in the medical world.
Yeah, yeah, both of them. And so that was, of course, I had an aversion to that.
Were they thrilled with the decision to go to music? Hey, Mom, Dad, I'm...
Actually, they were pretty cool as far as, you know, they could have been. I think there was maybe a little uneasiness when it came.
Mm-hmm.
We had the opportunity to go write songs for a living, and that kind of leap of faith moment when we were in school but didn't quite graduate because things were getting so busy, mm-hmm. and we kind of had to just go for it. And there was maybe a little, you know, you'll be happier if you get your degree. Like, I don't know. I think I'll be happier if I do what
yeah.
I came to Nashville, or what I set out to do in the first place. But yeah, they were pretty cool about it, though.
Yeah. Well, they got it when we started playing the Opry, mm-hmm. and, you know, bring them backstage and everything.
What was that like, playing the Grand Ole Opry?
It's been amazing. We've actually done it. We've done it 45 times.
45 times?
Years. Yeah, it's been amazing.
Well, they keep asking us,
and we keep saying
so, yes.
Yeah. But the first time we actually got to do it at the Ryman Auditorium, which is one of the most amazing venues in the world. And so it was, you just as an artist, you want to play there too. So we got mm-hmm. to kind of check two bucket list items off at once, and
yeah.
I cried a lot.
Has it always been music? Is that you knew from a very early age, or were there other things?
I definitely knew. I think just it was so in my family that I knew. I think I thought in the beginning that because my dad, I grew up outside of Philadelphia, and so my dad would play woodwinds in all of the musicals when they'd come off Broadway and come to Philadelphia. He was in the Pitt Orchestra, and I think for a long time I thought I was going to end up doing that until I started really playing guitar seriously.
Yeah,
and
I
was
really always playing guitar, but like I said, I think it was probably after Jurassic Park came out, so I wanted to be a paleontologist.
Well, who didn't?
Yeah, and then probably Apollo 13, so I wanted to be an astronaut.
An astronaut who studies dinosaurs. It was
math. Math is just the bane of my existence.
Yeah.
And so in music, you don't really have to, you just have to count to four most of the time. And then people can always say, well, usually musicians, you excel at math. I've heard that.
I've heard that too.
Sure. What a chord progression
untrue thing.
Yeah.
Either that, or I just wonder how bad I would be if I weren't a musician. It's like, man, I wouldn't be able to count.
We're talking with Justin and Sarah, who are striking matches on tour right now for the debut album, Nothing But the Silence, produced by T-Bone Burnett. And so as far as the album goes, you picked 11 songs, and you had a hand in all of them, I read.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them we wrote just the two of us, and the other ones had just one other co-writer, different co-writers for every song. But but yeah, so we kind of balance it out. We write a lot together and on our own, and so we usually start there.
Yeah, and that's usually important just to kind of preserve the integrity of kind of what we are and what we do. But there are so many fantastic writers all over, but in Nashville especially, just add an element of inspiration that they just kind of can shake things up when they come in the room. They hear something that you didn't, I didn't think of that. And that's kind of the beauty of co-writing sometimes. But it's always, it usually just comes back to the two of us.
That's and who has the final say?
I don't know. I think part of the reason it works so well is that we usually tend to think the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this really needs a slide solo, so obviously Sarah's going to play it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, something, maybe a fingerstyle thing or whatever, so I'll probably play it, just because we kind of both have our strengths depending on where it is. And it's sort of a friendly competition, friendly rivalry, rather than, I mean, we're not necessarily trying to pull each other down. We're trying to, you know, just beat each other up.
Right. Exactly.
Striking matches, and it's a great story. I mean, your story is great, how you guys met at school, and you kind of got paired together by chance.
Yeah,
and
we didn't even make it up.
No, I mean, you could have, but you didn't. But they're on tour, and the tour continues throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah.
The U.S., then U.K., as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. If people want to see you outside of the U.S., where can they find the information on your website?
Definitely our website, strikingmatches.com, and we have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
What is your Facebook?
Striking Matches, just /strikingmatches, at Striking Matches for Twitter and Instagram, and
all right.
We've got it.
Our
all
worldwide audience, I'm sure, will reach out to you.
Yeah, cool.
And check them out when they come and play by you. All right, well, if you guys are doing another song for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to put my guitar down for this one.
Well, we'll do this one just because we've had so much luck and success with the Nashville TV show. We've had 8 songs on there, and a couple of them we knew that they were personal enough that we wanted to put them on our record, and so this was one of them, and it was actually our first tune we ever had on the show, and it was sung by the characters Scarlett and Gunner, if anybody watches it, in the Bluebird Cafe, which kind of, we played this song for the music supervisors. They asked us our story behind it, and we were telling them we played it for the first time in the Bluebird Cafe, which was just a massive deal for a songwriter in Nashville. And so they kind of stole our story, or they used our story to kind of write into the show, because they wanted to use the song badly enough that they needed a plot line. And so they just kind of borrowed ours.
So it's called When the Right One Comes Along. You know that you're supposed to be.
million moments full of sweet relief when the right one comes along. Every single broken heart will lead you to the truth. Think you know what you're looking for, to what you're looking for.
Very nice. Very sweet and tender and loving and warm. Well, striking matches. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Being on the show. And Nothing But the Silence is the name of the new album, which is now available. So go to iTunes and Amazon and to your website and get a copy, strikingmatches.com.
Yep.
That's all it takes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
And for the international audience, go see them on tour when they come to you after June. Yeah. I'm Larry London. This is Border Crossings, and you are watching VOA TV.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
I sing the blues. Well, I've been around a long time. I've really paid my dues. I've laid in the ghetto flats, cold and numb. I heard the rats tell the bedbugs to give the roaches some. Everybody wanna know why I'm singing the blues. Yes, I've been around a long time. People, I've paid my dues. I stood in line down at the county hall. I heard a man say, we're gonna build some new apartments for y'all. And everybody wanna know. Yes, they wanna know why I'm singing the blues. Yes, I've been around a long, long time. Yes, I've really, really paid my. I'll play Lucille. I've been around a lot.
Border Crossings, the blues of B.B. King, the late blues legend who passed away a couple of weeks ago at the age of 89. That's a request on Border Crossings from Ambrose Agio in Nigeria on behalf of the Chelsea Football Club, who are tuned into Border Crossings today. And that is why I sing the blues. The man loved the blues. The man made the blues. The man was the blues. B.B. King, we'll always miss him, but we'll always remember him with his music. And Ambrose says, dedicate that song specifically to Jose Mornho, Captain John Terry, and his Blue Army, and other true blues across the soccer world. So there you go. You got that. We started off with Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance on Border Crossings, a request from Farah in Kuwait. I'll shut up and play the music. And after we listen to Sam Smith, we will have our CD giveaway. So here's Sam Smith, who underwent throat surgery on a vocal cord about 2 weeks ago. He's got 8 weeks of vocal rest before he can get back to work. Philmon Gannett Abraham, here is your request.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand. But I still need love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see. But darling, stay with me. Why am I so emotional? No, it's not a good look and some self-control. And deep down I know this never works. But you can lay with me so it doesn't hurt. Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear.
Crossing Sam Smith, the velvet tones of his voice. I'm Larry London, and Philmon, thank you for your request for Stay With Me. It's time now for a CD giveaway. We have the Now 54 CD to give away to a lucky listener. And I'm going to reach into the pile and see, who is our winner? It is Amal in Ethiopia. Hooray! Hooray to Amal in Ethiopia and everybody in Ethiopia. Hooray to you as well. So congratulations, Amal. You've won the Now 54 CD. Here's your request. It's Meghan Trainor.
Dear future husband, here's a few things you need to know if you wanna be my one and only all my life. Thinking I'll be home and making up the past. I never learned to cook, but I can pride of her.
apologize. And maybe then I'll let you try and rock my body right. Even if I was wrong, you know I'm never wrong. Why disagree? Why disagree?
Crossings, that's Meghan Trainor and Dear Future Husband, her latest off the album Tidal, and she's on tour right now. I want to say hello to Joe and Lai in Uganda. Yar Alec checked in. Harry N is in Kuwait. Henok McConanen is tuned in to Border Crossings, all along with Wesley Ballin, Patrick and Tim, Agaba Joe. I also heard from Mehdi Nadiri, Samira Al Garabali. I thank you all. Yao Bebli, Shahinur, Alam, thank you. Augustino and Chris and Candia are tuned in to Border Crossings. Thank you for listening. And thank you to Striking Matches for being our guest on the first half of the show. Glenn, our engineer, thank you to you, Felicia and Vince, and to you guys as well. So thanks, everyone, for putting the show together. I'm Larry London. I will see you tomorrow at 1500 Universal right here on Border Crossings on the VOA1 Music Network.